It's the 120 podcast, Mikey Finale alongside Benjamin Hootie for another edition of season number two for us. And Cub spring training is well underway. The news has been a little dry this week as it pertains to the Cubs, but there's a couple big national stories we want to talk about and how they pertain to your Chicago Cubs. So first and foremost, Ben, it's a pleasure to be on the mics with you again on another Sunday night.
Yeah, long weekend for the both of us. We had a good time this weekend, but probably a good thing that no Cubs news broke. It's always a better thing when it's more quiet, I think, right? So
Yeah, absolutely.
to a certain extent. So yeah, it's been a pretty nice week with some Cody Bellinger introductions back to camp, some good prospect stuff happening, as well as just some more low-key news. So not a, a pretty I'm doing pretty well, and happy to be doing this once
Yeah.
again on a Sunday night.
There is this article from The Athletic that we talked a lot about on the Red Zone, which is our WZND podcast this week. If we haven't shouted that enough before, go listen to that. It is with WZND Illinois State. We talk about Illinois State sports and national sports. We talked about this on that show, but if you didn't hear that, on 120, we want to talk about this. This is the biggest, I would say, Cubs-related, Cubs-adjacent news of the last week. This article from The Athletic, written by Sam Bloom, about Chris Bryant and I would say potentially regrets about signing in Colorado, but more than anything, kind of just talking about coming in when expectations are that high and getting to the point he's in now. While I find my favorite quotes, Ben, why don't you kind of pick up what I left off there?
Yeah, it was I think Mikey put it pretty well there, but basically Chris just kind of said that his entire free agent process was kind of rushed. Obviously his free agency year was the lockout season, and majority players that year signed right before the MLB went into lockdown because they didn't know how long it would truly go. And how long did it end up extending into like the actual spring? Not
Yeah.
too long. It was obviously long, and we were
The
waiting for
season
it to get
started on
over.
time.
The season
Yeah.
started on time, but it was a shortened spring training, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So it was right around, I would say, probably like a week ago when it ended.
Yeah.
During so yeah, and Chris Bryant was one of the only, marquee free agents in an awesome free agent class that was, if I remember correctly. That didn't find a home heading into the lockout. So he was left for dead while he couldn't talk to any teams or anything. And all these other players had already signed their big contracts. And he kind of came out right after the lockout with spring training already started, not having a home, and kind of feels like rushed his free agency process, which ended up landing him in Colorado on that 7-year, $177 million deal. And I know Mike, you'll get into the quotes and
Yeah.
kind of what he explained as how he feels about Colorado.
Yeah, kind of the focal point of the start of the article here in Bloom's article in The Athletic is talking about this billboard of Chris Bryant wearing a Cubs jersey before he'd played in a Cubs game saying, the future is now or something along those lines. And Chris's quote was, "I didn't know that billboard was going to be up there, but if I did, I probably would have been like, let's not do that. Let me just go out there and play ball. Let me be who I am." The article goes on to say Bryant won a Rookie of the Year, an MVP, and a World Series in the span of two seasons upon his call up. He was literally playing MLB The Show on rookie mode for a while. And then
Yeah.
the early returns hinted at a Hall of Fame career. Now 32, Bryant stood inside the Rockies clubhouse on an early morning before the first spring training game. The billboards are gone, the expectations too. Cooperstown, that's not likely to happen either. There's so much desire to be the best you can be, to be the best in the game, to get to the mountaintop, Bryant said. But at the same time, as I'm getting older, you have to have the right perspective to first get to that point. I think at certain times throughout my career, I've lost some of that perspective. It's made me spiral more than I've needed to. Yeah, you can't help but feel for Chris. If the article goes on to say a little bit about how he, like Ben pointed out, the lockout forced him into a contract. He just wanted security. And so he went, there were other teams talking, but he just went with the Rockies. That's who he was, looking at the most then. He didn't really think about the program. He even kind of roasts the Rockies and says they kind of like, I didn't do enough research, right? Like he
He
kind of
said, "I
meant like,
didn't do enough research on their farm system."
yeah.
And
And
that's true because Colorado is not in
yeah.
a good shape at all for the future. So he's in a tough
He,
spot there.
and then Ben and I talking this weekend as we cue into this Matt Chapman thing. Ben and I are talking about Matt Chapman when he signs a very Bellinger-esque deal with the Giants. We said this on Red Zone on Thursday before Matt Chapman even signed on Friday night. Did Chris Bryant kill the big time Boris contract?
Seems like it, huh? I'm pretty sure Rendon's a Boris
factor.
client as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it. I think because Cody Bellinger and Chris Bryant's free agencies, like when they went into it, they felt so eerily familiar.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but if I'm not mistaken, besides the fact that Chris was traded by the Cubs going into like for the second half of the season or whatever it may be, and Cody wasn't, it's two players that had phenomenal, like young parts of their career.
Yeah.
Won an MVP, won Rookie of the Year. Cody did the same exact thing.
And a
And
World Series.
And then the injuries start to tack on a little bit. And Chris Bryant and Cody Bellinger both put together all-star campaigns in their final year of their contract. You remember Chris Bryant's last year? He was really freaking good before he once
Yeah.
again got kind of an injury right before he left the Cubs. And I'm pretty sure he was really good on San Francisco too, if I'm
Yeah.
not mistaken.
He played well.
The
Played
only
all
thing that
seven positions that year, by
the
the
only
way.
th yes, and the only thing that people were worried about was the power numbers being down. But it still was enough to get him that big contract going into free agency, because 7 years for 177 is you know, is in the upper echelon of even though we're reaching 300 million and whatnot in today's game of baseball, 177 is still in the upper echelon of contracts in Major League Baseball. So yeah, Chris Bryant might have killed the big time contract for players that have question marks with injury past and inconsistencies.
And so that cues in a Cody Bellinger situation, like you said, Ben, a great point, mirroring those two's careers. You can see that a year or two later, Bellinger treaded the waters completely differently. He had a prove it year, true 1 year contract with a team that he knew he could hit well on, did well, and then didn't sign a big Boris contract, which is where it's surprising. He signs another potentially prove it contract and that he can opt out on in 2 years from now, or he can opt out next year, but he probably will wait and opt out 2 years from now. And then he might get his 6 or 7 year deal then.
And then sure enough, Matt Chapman now is doing the same thing as well. It's
Right.
eerily familiar to the Correa situation in Minnesota, when everyone was like, he didn't really have a suitor, and they were like, why is he going to Minnesota? It just doesn't make sense. It never made sense. And he did 1 year before opting out, and then finally got the long-term contract that, you know, the Twins were hoping for when they first signed him. That was not with a couple of stops in San Francisco and New York. But yeah, this whole contract thing, kind of splitting off Chris Bryant here now, it's really interesting. And I know you have feelings about it with Scott. And while I like these contracts that the Cubs and Giants have gotten for both sides, like, I think it's a win-win for both sides.
Yeah.
It's still yearly. I think we've heard a lot the last like 2 weeks is Scott Boras might have lost his fastball.
That's the thing. I was thinking a lot about that over the weekend, and I told you I can't wait to record on Monday so we can, or Sunday so we can talk about that. But the more I sit here and think about it, I don't know what the player would want in that situation out of those two. You can have the security, but potentially the regret, I guess, of a Chris Bryant situation. Or you can have what Bellinger and Chapman are having, which is, yeah, very friendly for you, but it could all go way downhill if they get back in an injury pass. I mean, it is a little bit risky for Cody Bellinger to be continuing on with these contracts, but he's betting on himself and it's working out. The whole thing with Scott Boras, though, for as long as we can remember, is that it's not who he is. It's the big money, get yourself your decade-long,
Yeah.
$100 million, bajillion-dollar contract. Is it roasting Scott Boras? No, but is it a shift? To say he lost his fastball, sure, it's more of a breaking pitch these days. I think he's shifting. I don't think he's upset. I mean, at least not publicly. Of course, he's going to save face. I don't think he's upset that his clients are signing these deals now. But I don't know what a player would want out of those two options. Of course, they have to be the deciding factor. So it's an interesting topic.
I think the Cody one is a really good contract for both sides. I think that was done, even though he probably wanted to get Cody that long-term flexibility. $30 million a year is no joke.
No, no doubt.
This Chapman one is where it, because We started the offseason where Chapman was looking for $150 million contract. Then it got brought down like a month later, and he was like, okay, maybe $100 million. Now it's at 54.
Yeah.
And that is just kind of crazy for a player of his capability. And that he's basically, as much as Cody Bellinger's doing a prove it year again, we said it, $30 million a year is no joke. Matt
No.
Chapman was supposed to land that final contract of his career this year for a player that is one of the best defensive third basemen in baseball, that I think I would pay $54 million just for that glove. And a very capable hitter. He's very streaky, but the glove just provides so much that it almost replaces for the sometimes bad things that come with the bat. So that's where I'm really, really, really excited to see as we continue this conversation, not just you and me, but the entire baseball community, this
Yeah.
whole entire Scott Boras situation. I'm really excited to see what kind of contracts Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell get, because Blake Snell turned down 168 for four from the Yankees in December. And he might get significantly less than that, which would be a big time L for Scott Boras.
It's funny you bring that up because to remind and reiterate on something you mentioned there at the start of that statement, Chapman supposedly turned down a $100 million contract from Toronto.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there is there.
Okay.
I, there's stuff about it on Twitter. I mean, no one knows for sure. The Blue Jays are not going to
Right.
come out with a press release and say, "Yeah, we gave him a contract." No,
No
I
one
mean
does that.
they're no, and they shouldn't. I mean, it saves face. No one will ever do that. But the rumor has it, in a similar fashion to the Blake Snell Yankees rumors, that Chapman did have a Goliath offer from the Blue Jays that he did not think was fit enough, or he did not want to return to Toronto.
Yeah. I don't think he was worth over 100 million. And if he was getting 100 million from the Blue Jays, like, that would have been awesome for him. But I think 54 is way lower than anyone expected.
Before
I
we
was
round
more
up,
thinking in like the 70, 90 range.
with some Cubs talk, some local Cubs talk, let's cap this with this. And this is a random question I'm thinking of live on the show. We're gonna do this, call this a preview of our season preview, because in the coming weeks we're gonna do our season preview where we go team by team and talk about our opinions and everything.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Blue Jays for a second. I keep seeing angry Blue Jays fans comments whenever another player gets signed. They went from thinking that Robert Hrzebek was on a private jet with and he was Shohei Ohtani to the sky high expectations to just watching each and every one of these players that they had their mind set on just slip from their fingers. If you're a Toronto Blue Jays fan or their organization, where are you feeling right now?
They have a phenomenal pitching staff that might get a big boost this year if Alek Manoah finds it again. Their offense, 1 through 9, is all names that you know. And that's including the players that they were potentially going to get and they missed out on. They just cannot hit in big spots. The Blue Jays have it all there. Me and you talked about the Blue Jays last year. I was so high on them going into last season. And I just, it's not even like Vladdy and Bo Bichette, who we talked about earlier in the offseason, and who else am I missing? Like Kevin Biggio and George Springer. It's not like they have disappointing seasons. It's just for some reason, when it's time to like pony up and put it all together, they just can't hit in big spots. And that's what's just kind of haunted them these last couple of seasons, is because, I mean, we were talking about them like they were going to win the next 5 of the 10 next World Series based on how that farm system went. And it did not come together well. They obviously got Justin Turner, which will be a big boost for them, even though they lost Brandon Belt. So it'll be, I think it's this season is truly like they need to make the postseason, or else they might need significant changes because something's not working there.
Sharp left turn into some fun trivia. I was talking to friend of the pod, Nick Alonzo, former Crosstown Classic trivia contestant Nick Alonzo this morning, or this
Zero
afternoon, because he
zero
was.
points in
What'd
his
you say?
I said he had 0 points
Oh,
in
yeah.
his matchup.
He was blanked. He was no hit. And
Skunked.
his. I never actually watched that one, but I heard about it. And it was. I heard it was a skunk show. Who did he lose to again?
Big John.
Yeah, Big John. I can't really talk. I ended up going on to lose. Well, I actually played
No,
modestly well in my second round. Yeah.
you
In
put
my
on a
second
good
rounder.
show. You put
Yeah.
on a good show.
But speaking of which, I was talking to Nick this afternoon, and the Cubs beat Cleveland when Cleveland was leading 3-1. They came back and won with a David Bote home run, which has sparked some Twitter fun. And I was like, it's spring training, I get it. But I feel like in the regular season, we've kind of had Cleveland's numbers since the World Series. So I looked it up online, like matchup history, and I was wrong. It's like almost exactly split. It's like 8-6, I think, or like 7-6, I think, since the World Series in regular season matchups from 2017 to last season.
We've played them that many times
I,
since
yeah,
then,
yeah.
but I'm
It's
trying to
weird.
put, okay, I know we played them last year at Wrigley.
The
I
first
remember
time
that.
after the World Series would have been 2018.
2018. Okay. I remember 2020. I remember like one of the first series of the year they were in Cleveland. Don't know why I remember that. I remember them being for a three game set at Wrigley this year. And they, I think the Cubs dropped two of three. There was that crazy Sunday game that like went to extra innings. They came back like four down. Cody had a sac fly, if you remember that. But that's crazy. I never, I don't, I just remember them dropping two of three this year. But it's definitely interesting to think that you thought that they had their number like since the World Series.
Well, here's why. Because I remember specifically the COVID year, because and I ended up looking into it. And
Okay.
get this, no one talks about this because it was over the course of two out of three seasons, 2 years after the World Series, and it's a baseless, dumb trivia that no one will ever consider. But for all the 3-1 memes that have ever existed on Twitter, since the Cubs and Guardians or Indians stop or have been playing since the World Series in 2018, the Cubs were 1-3 against them. So the Indians did go up 3-1 in 2018. And then in 2020, when they got another chance, the Cubs won four in a row. So we 3-1 them twice, is all I'm talking about. We hit them twice. No one talks about that the 7 games after the 7-game series went almost identically. Indians slash Guardians went up 3-1, and the Cubs won the next three, and then they won a essential game eight. But since then, the Guardians have had our number 1-3 and 1-2 are the Cubs records in the last two seasons playing them. It's been every other year, Ben, since 2016. 18, 20, no, excuse me, 18, 20, 21, and 23. So almost every other year.
Dude, that's absurd. The fact that you like looked into that and it all came up just like that, it's beautiful.
I can't get it to
Phone
focus.
screen, yeah. Wait, oh, there
Yeah,
we go.
there we go. I have the log
Okay.
here.
That's hilarious.
It's
Cleveland blew a 3-1 lead once again.
the first time they ever played was 1997.
Really?
One and two that year for the Cubs. They didn't have a winning record against Cleveland in a season until 06, 10 years
Interesting.
before some mildly important games against them.
True, yeah.
So that is today's random trivia. Speaking of which, okay, that means it's been a really boring week if I'm going to talk about that. What can we talk about down at the farm, or I guess down in the desert? Is there too much to talk about? Is David Bote making his way to a roster spot? I don't think so.
I don't want to talk. I'm so done talking about David Bote. Like every time that we mention on this podcast, like I get like a twitch. I'm like, just please, you bring up he doesn't bring up bad memories. It's just like I'm done, bro. But yeah, he's having a nice spring once again, because why wouldn't he? Yeah, we could go through some headlines. We'll start, I think, with the rookie. Not really a rookie, but kind of a rookie. Shota Imanaga had his first major league start, I guess you could say. And one mistake, gave up three runs, gave up a 3-run homer and 2 1/3 inning of work, but he did strike out five batters of on the Dodgers. So one little mistake, can't blame him too much for it. You're gonna see some of that happen, I think, this year with him. But yeah, I think the strikeouts is gonna be a big thing that the Cubs are gonna want to rely on with this guy. And I'm excited for Shota. I'm excited for Shota.
Yeah, I think we can expect there to be some good starts at the beginning and then potentially a bit of a lull. I don't think he's looking at a sub 2 ERA season, but I think he
Yeah.
could be really strong. And I think, who knows, maybe he could shock us, and especially in year two, maybe. I think that's coming up. Kind of thinking about how every Japanese player or every international player, when they come over, there's kind of a grace period and then there's kind of an adjustment period.
About
It
Seiya.
happens. Yeah, exactly.
Seiya hit the ground running, was an MVP candidate his first 3 weeks, and then he kind of went into a lull for a year and a half before he came became one of the best players in
Yeah.
baseball in the
So
last 3 months.
film and data
Yeah.
grow throughout the first month, that's for sure.
But you put it there perfectly with Shota. It's not going to be, there will be some points where it's not going to be easy. But with the contract we're paying him, we're asking him to be a formidable three or four,
Yeah,
right?
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if he could be anything more than that, then you couldn't, what else could you ask for? Like, that's
Yeah,
awesome.
formidable three with a high ceiling. That's for sure.
Exactly.
Other headline, Mike Tauchman. The summer of Mike Tauchman extends to a season two. I feel like Mike Tauchman is just like you and I. Like, if Mike Tauchman gets dropped by the Cubs, we might have to drop 120. It's the summer of Mike Tauchman, and the podcast just grows.
He was the reason this podcast kind of grew, right?
Yeah, we were
Like,
getting really down and out about it, and then Mike Tauchman kind of turned it around.
yeah, Mike Tauchman is the best. I have that signed bat by him now too. Yeah, if anyone's complaining about this, you're crazy. Like, he is a perfect fourth outfielder for this team. And I know people want the prospects up. I get it. They're gonna come. They're gonna be there. Don't worry. Mike Tauchman, did you see what he did for you last year as your starting center fielder for majority of games down that stretch? He was
Yeah.
really good for us. And he does not have to be in a big position this year with Cody and PCA and Michael Bush, whatever it might be. So Mike Tauchman is a perfect bench option for this team. And I'm happy that Craig Counsell has that faith in him as well, that he guaranteed him a roster spot.
Yep, that is the headline at the end there. I was waiting to read out the exact headline, but Ben hit the nail on the head. Bruce Levine reported, Craig Counsell confirmed to Mike Tauchman reportedly that he will be on the opening day roster. And the tweet replies are as similar as you would think. There are people saying the summer of Mike Tauchman continues. How did you get those signed bats again? You got to finish out with that.
So my grandpa, his brother is best friends with Mike Tauchman's dad.
So your great uncle is best friends with Mr. Tauchman?
Correct.
Look at that.
I know, it's a small world.
The pride and joy of Peoria, well, a Palatine, but then Bradley Hall of
Yeah.
Famer now.
We've been talking about this guy for years, like even before he was on the Cubs. My
Yeah.
grandpa would always be like, oh yeah, like one of my but because he's also like friends with my grandpa as well. He's like, one of my buddies got his son's on the Yankees. I'm like, oh yeah, what's his name? Tautman. I'm like, okay. And then they just keep going. Then he's like, he's on the Rockies now. And then when he signed with the Cubs last spring training, I think I sent my grandpa a text immediately. I'm like, hey, look at this. And it was a lot of fun watching games then
Yeah.
with my grandpa this summer because we were just kind of cheering on Mike, and it was a lot of fun.
So let's end with this. Who is now the chopping block? Is it still Patrick Wisdom now?
I have no idea. I really don't. I think they have to work a trade out with someone because you can't just DFA Wisdom or Mastroboni because Mastroboni's having a pretty nice spring too, or Madrigal. I don't know, unless they don't plan on having any of the prospects on the team come opening day, which I think would be a mistake to not have at least one of them.
I don't
I
think they'd be
think
afraid to do that though, but still.
I don't think so either, but I think PCA should be on the opening day roster. I don't know. It's gonna be there's a lot of it's a good problem to have. We talked about it last week. There's a lot of flexibility with this team, and there's a not many spots. So I think they can do something with Madrigal potentially. I know he still has options, and I think that's it. I think Mastroboni and Wisdom are both out of options. So that could be the only move if they're not going to work a trade. If not, I think a trade needs to be worked out with
Yeah.
one of the three guys I just mentioned.
Well, next week we'll come back. We'll talk some more baseball, some more Cubs. A couple weeks from now, we'll get our season preview going. But this time next week, we'll see some at bats, some live batting from Cody Bellinger. We'll have to talk about that. And
24 days till opening day. 24, folks.
24 days. We're almost there.
24 days until the Chicago Cubs are playing the primetime national game, going to Texas for the ring
Yep.
ceremony. We're going to play upset there. I love it.
I love it. The Cubs, I don't think the Cubs have played in that stadium yet, have they?
No.
No.
This will be the
Because now
first
it's
time.
everybody play everybody. Remember we
Yeah.
opened our season against them in 19, I want to say, at the old stadium?
And yeah, that was the old stadium. I think I'm pretty sure Mark Zagunas was in right field, if I'm not
Yes.
mistaken.
That was so random. And there was that was kind of a random Rangers team too. Who ended up being like
One of the worst. I
four
think
years
it,
separated.
yeah.
No, I'm just saying 4 years separated from winning the World Series, but
That team was like one of the worst teams in baseball, though,
yeah.
that Rangers team. But I
Elvis
remember
Andrus.
that was a fun opening weekend, if I'm not
Yeah, it
mistaken.
was.
I
It
remember
was.
Javi Baez went crazy. I think he had like three home runs that weekend. So yeah, that was fun. That was the MVP year, Baez, I think. Or he didn't win
Where he
it,
was,
but
you know,
runner up. Yeah.
considered the last full season of baseball for all those guys too, because they ended up getting traded in 21. They ended up having the shortened season in 20. 2019 was like the last year where like drama wasn't in the way, and they're like, hey, you know, this team is still good. They could win the World Series, and then they just didn't.
They choked away
Yeah.
the wild card.
Cubs legend Daniel Murphy.
Ugh.
No,
Yep.
was that 18 or 19? Castellanos was 19,
Oh,
right?
Castellanos was 19. They didn't even make the playoffs in 19.
Right. No, I know. But was Murphy
And then
also 19, or was
18.
that?
No, Murphy was 18 when they lost to
Oh,
the
Terrence
Rockies in the
Gore.
wild
Yeah.
card. Yeah,
Yeah, Terrence. Yeah, Terrence
Terrence
Gore,
Gore
immaculate
getting at
grid.
bats in a playoff game. Jesus
Hey, he was
Christ.
our only run. He was the only run that
He
scored.
was. He was. He was. What a. That everyone thought it that when that happened, it was and Javi hit it to the gap. It was
Yeah.
our Dave Roberts moment. We were going to win another World Series. Ah, God.
You know we can never have a game 163 again, right? Under at least under the new CBA until
Yeah,
they change. So
that's
it
true,
almost
right?
came down to it last year. It almost came down to so we would never have to deal with that again. It would just be a tiebreaker. So the first time that hits the fan for, on either side, National League or American League, whether it's this year or next, people are gonna.
The Cubs would end up getting screwed over if it went to a tiebreaker,
Yeah,
if I'm
remember
not
we talked about it
mistaken. Yeah.
with the Marlins because with the everyone play everyone, remember we talked about it a lot in the fall. You don't play people again. Like you play them in like
Right.
May and then you don't see them again.
Like the Marlins and Diamondbacks, which the Diamondbacks kind of put the knife in our chest
Right.
anyways to end our season. So we probably deserved it, but and they ended up being the eventual National League
Right.
champions. But the Diamondbacks, the Marlins. I think we owned everyone had us in the tiebreaker besides the Giants, but the Giants were just plummeting at the end of the
Right.
season.
The Giants started plummeting after
We
we beat them to start September. That was the last good series the Cubs played.
it kind of stinks because I just want to mention this really quick, which I think we could wrap it up. The Giants might be pretty sneaky good this year.
They always are.
I know, but like they got significantly better this offseason with Jung Ho Lee, Matt Chapman, and Jorge Soler. That's some pretty good additions.
And they dropped Brandon Crawford.
Yeah,
They didn't
and they.
DFA him. I'm just saying they literally dropped weight.
Right, and Luciano's coming up now. He'll be their full-time shortstop. Pat Bailey, their catcher, is a stud. They might be pretty good,
You already
which.
know Brandon Crawford's going to be a Cubs killer as a Cardinal,
No
too.
way. No way. That retirement home team, dude. No
No, I'm
way.
not saying they're going to be good. I'm saying I because I've always liked Brandon Crawford, so I already know in his like last year of his career, last 2 years of career, when he's playing it out with the Cardinals, he's going to somehow find a way to rake against the Cubs.
We're gonna, yeah, honestly, okay. I don't disagree with you. It's gonna be like freaking Ryan, or not Ryan Braun. It's gonna be Brandon Crawford becomes a Cubs killer. Aroldis Chapman will never get a hit off him this season on the Pittsburgh Pirates. What are some other random? Frankie
Sonny
Montas is
Gray.
gonna turn into a Cy Young candidate again for the Reds.
But Ellie will still strike out four times. Don't worry.
Rhys Hoskins becomes a Cubs killer because we didn't sign him.
Yeah.
All the above.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It'll all be fine because at the end of the day, they're going to win more ball games than all the teams listed, and they're going to win the National League Central.
Boom, book it.
Boom. All right. Thank you for listening to another episode of 120. Go Cubs.